imagine if this is the one place in the world where you could shop the most Native Indigenous-owned stores.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Benjamin Gottlieb, and this is Shopify Masters, your companion for starting and building a business. Why become an entrepreneur? Amy Dennett Dell came to entrepreneurship to give back to her community.
For Kinship, it's a vessel. It's a space that just carries us to the places we need to get to. It's become a very much like a community hub that is representative of so many people.
Her journey to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where we are sitting down together today, has been long, full of both immense pain and difficulty, as well as acute fulfillment.
I understand what my life's purpose is. Even to learn how to be Dinette, to learn my culture, to learn what it means to be Indigenous.
We're chatting today as part of our series spotlighting Indigenous entrepreneurs on Shopify through our Build Native program. And Amy, really thankful to be here with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Can't wait to get into this.
Yeah.
Let's start with that journey I alluded to, because it's really quite a journey. You didn't grow up in Santa Fe.
Nope.
You didn't grow up in many of the Indigenous communities here in the Southwest. You were displaced, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I actually grew up in the Midwest in Indiana. My mom was part of Indian relocation in the 60s. So that's when young relatives were kind of pushed out in different areas in kind of a very odd way of promised jobs and a different life. And so she ended up in Ohio and got pregnant with me. And I was adopted out immediately at birth. And at that time, you know, it was before the Indian Child Welfare Act that came part of the 70s, which actually protected Native kids. So my birth family didn't even know about me. And so that was the beginning of a kind of separation from my culture, a separation from my blood. And I went off to have a really beautiful childhood, you know, with the family that raised me, but never really feeling like it was the place I was supposed to be. It was always that feeling of there was something else, but there was no one there to guide me, to teach me about my culture. And back in the 60s and 70s when I grew up, you know, there was even very little in media. It was just like TV or kind of crazy magazines or National Geographic. Like literally, I would read National Geographic to learn about my Diné culture. And so, yeah, it was just a very different pathway than how it would have been otherwise. I'm really grateful for that because I feel like Creator put me outside for a reason. I learned different things. I had a beautiful design career, lived all over the world working in fashion. And that allowed me to bring different gifts back home. You know, I learned a different way. And so right after I came back in 2019, right before COVID, I actually moved back to New Mexico. My daughter had just graduated high school. So I was finally kind of in my empty nest phase, and I was ready. I was ready to come home. I was just like, even to learn how to be Dinette, to learn my culture, to learn what it means to be Indigenous. And by saying that, it came with responsibility. Like for me to step into those shoes as a matriarch meant I had to find a way to help my community when I came home. So all those gifts and all those years I'd been living in other places, learning how to create wealth for corporations, to create marketing stories, to create visual stories like you do, that all came back home with me. And that's what I really used to do what I would call social entrepreneurship with a brand platform. And it's just been a really interesting journey to kind of rethink what does even entrepreneurship mean for me, right?
Well, we're definitely going to get into that in this interview. And speaking of the community that you've talked about, we've been here now for just a few days.
Yeah.
Spending time in your backyard. We're actually right now in the backyard of your store.
Yeah.
And there's no question there's a palpable community that you've created here. Just, no doubt.
It just bubbles up. It's just so beautiful.
It bubbles up. But you said something really interesting just a few moments ago about how you used your experiences living outside of your community. Mm-hmm. And have applied them to your brand here for Kinship and also all of the other philanthropic things, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
Tell me, when you were working in corporate fashion, mm-hmm. for example, what are some of the things that you learned that have become applicable for you in this environment?
My gosh, creating wealth, right? That's why we're all doing that. But, you know, all those years that I worked for companies, like even back then, I didn't know enough about how I think now. It's like, where did all that money go? How is it reinvested? It certainly wasn't reinvested in the people that were part of the production cycle, because all those places that we produce those clothes for mass production were living in poverty. So I just had that moment, raising a daughter and really trying to be more conscious of how I was teaching her. I realized I had to relearn myself, right? To decolonize the way that I'd been taught about corporate life, right? I was making money without knowing where that reinvestment was happening, but by having my own brand and having my own platform, which came a little bit later, I was able to really rethink, for everything that I take, I want to be able to give back, to have a balance, to have, in Diné, it's called hajo. It's like this balance we have between all parts of our lives. So, you know, in the old world of corporate fashion, that would have been, oh yeah, I'm going to design this and I'm going to give 1% back, and like,
right.
Which is nothing, right?
Right?
But in my mind, I create the wealth to fulfill a problem or a dream, you know? So we had this idea of building a skate park. It required a certain amount of money. So to actually use those tools I had to create that wealth, to create that connectivity for sponsorships, which were like, you know, visual marketing programs and all the different things, all those things I learned in corporate became the ways I created wealth to give back.
To give back, and it's become applicable now.
Yeah.
You keep referring to the name and the language Diné, which for our audience who are unfamiliar, that's another way of saying Navajo.
Navajo.
Right.
Yeah. That's how we refer to ourselves.
How you refer to yourselves is Diné.
You know, for kinship, even like the word, it has the word ship in it, right? It's a vessel. It's a space that just carries us to the places we need to get to. So it's become a very much like a community hub that is representative of so many people. So it might be my brand, but I'm just basically here as the auntie or the matriarch that really makes space for our young people, because I've already had my career. I want to find ways to help them thrive, right? And being here based in Santa Fe, for me, it's important that I'm not complicit, right? I don't just create wealth at this shop. I want to create opportunities for all young people here. Imagine Santa Fe, because you've walked around here, right, for the last couple days. Imagine if this is the one place in the world where you could shop the most Native Indigenous-owned stores. That's the future I see. That's what we need to go to, is imagine if it was completely the space where we could all thrive. And to do that, what do we need? We need space and we need economy. And so for me, the idea of, you know, the Shopify platform, you can have a storefront, but you're always going to need an e-commerce to balance out everything, right? And reach a more global audience beyond this town. So that's the beauty of, you know, all the work I've done together of creating an e-commerce brand over the last 10 years, is that I want to be based here and represent, but I also want to have that access out in the world for people to buy the brand. So all these beautiful artists that you've seen coming in and out today.
Yeah, they've been coming in the entire day.
Yeah. It's just been so great. It's like a family reunion. But yeah, I just see this as a way that we can really amplify and elevate those artists out in the world, because not everybody knows how to do it, right? You know, and I came from a background where in corporate, this was like second nature to me, of creating brands, selling things, selling them in stores, at retail, selling them online, knowing how that whole system works, you know, to make e-commerce go out in the world. So that's what I want to do here. It's just like, again, I say it's a ship, and it's this, almost like a spaceship. I feel like it's actually the mothership. You know, it's kind of like the aliens of change are all here. We just need to find ways to get out in the world in a more modern context, which is e-commerce.
Well, let's talk about that change and this future state of Santa Fe, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We had a chance to talk before this interview, and you, just like you just mentioned in this sit down here today, have great and deep affection and care for the youth of your community and educating them properly. It seems like education is integral to this future state that you're talking about when it comes to Santa Fe, making sure that young folks, especially young Indigenous folks, feel comfortable getting into entrepreneurship because not all of them have the same resources that other types of children have when it comes to taking risks like that.
Exactly. I think it's just creating that safe space. You know, there's just a way that we need to approach this. First of all, I need to be a really good listener, because it's not my job to tell them what to do. I need to listen to them and understand how I can help in any way. But it is that mentorship of having that outside brand experience, right? Because I've worked for my past life. It's knowing how to do like collaborations, right? You know, a lot of folks don't know how to enter that space if they haven't been near fashion, right? So the fact that I was working in fashion from the outside and can come back here and be a mentor has been a huge benefit. So, I mean, that's kind of what I want to do with the rest of my life is just pass on the knowledge that I've gained, build bridges to the future. So those bridges to me are taking all that connectivity, all that tenure and experience I had in corporate fashion and make a bridge so Native folks, young people have a clearer, faster path into that venue, whether that's in the performance arts space, the dance space, the fashion space, the sports space. And I should say sports, like why is For Kinship doing, you know, skateboarding? My tenure, the years, because I think I'm on my 40th year in the industry, was an active sportswear designer.
Well, let's take a moment there, because I don't know if our audience is familiar. You have this incredible project where you built a skate park.
With my community.
With your community. Yeah. In a place that never had something like that before.
Yeah.
Right? First of all, where is this and why a skate park of all things?
Yeah, why not? You know, I say that for everything. Why not? We should have everything. Those kids out there should have every access that my daughter did, which they don't, you know? So after COVID, I was just thinking they had been through so much because of the lack of infrastructure. Imagine COVID, going through COVID without Wi-Fi, without electricity, and sometimes running water. We have infrastructure issues on Navajo Nation.
I was going to say, this is in Navajo Nation where you built
27,000 square miles over three states. It's one of the largest reservations. So after COVID, I just thought I wanted to really build something or bring something to the community that would just make them joyful, to make them happy. A place we could gather. There's not parks. There's not, you know, there's not community centers. It's a very remote area. So instead of building it near the cities, I felt that the kids out in the middle of nowhere is where I want to focus because they have the least resources. So we built the first one in 2022, I think is when we opened, with a lot of great partners in the industry and the skate and outdoor community kind of backing us on that. And with that, building it with the community, right?
With their input as well.
With their input, they were part of everything, right? So I think that's the beautiful thing is for us. It's a place where I thought I was building it for the kids. And yes, the kids are having a great time and progressing in the sport, but it's an intergenerational community space. I go there and grandma and grandpa are there with the kids or the little ones are there with their older brothers.
Watching them skate.
Everybody's bringing like stuff to cook out. And it just makes me realize how much we need the space out there. It's bringing everyone together. It's making, they're building so much confidence because they're getting so good at the sport. So I think that's my job as auntie is to kind of keep up with them, right? Because we're going to have more mentorship. We're going to have more equipment. And eventually we're going to have to be able to host Olympic athletes out there because they are going to get that good so fast.
Skateboarding is an Olympic sport, yeah.
Yeah, thinking towards the future. So we actually want to open the first Indigenous skate school that will get a little rainbow van and fill it with skateboards. Right. And Sunshine Harrison, one of our lead mentors, is just going to drive around and teach kids how to absolutely embrace this sport. It's a healing sport. It's something for everyone. If you ask any skateboarder, like, what's skateboarding mean to you? And it's almost, I'd say 90% say the same thing. It saved my life. Skateboarding saved my life. Why is that? It's something that everyone can participate in, whether it's, you know, by themselves, with groups. It brings kids together. They get to know each other.
Yeah.
They get to be healthy. They get to aspire to bigger things in life, you know? Because it's just like you're out there and you're bored and you start dreaming bigger, different things, because your whole body is activated.
And this experience, building this skate park, all the other community work you do for Kinship, the store mm-hmm. we are right now. It's also been healing for you, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So like I would be 5 years old now, right? In my Dine years, I came home 5 years ago in 2019. So I'm about, you know, kindergarten now. And I still have that joyfulness. Like today when you saw all the relatives in there, in my wildest dreams, I couldn't imagine that when I was little to be in that situation. And so it's so joyful. Mm. Yeah.
My guest today is Amy Denadel, founder of For Kinship. We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. But first, a quick word about this series. This is the first episode in our Build Native series, and trust me, you will not want to miss the other entrepreneurs that I get a chance to sit down with and talk to. So please, if you have not already, subscribe to Shopify Masters wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead and click that subscribe button as well. And by the way, in the description box on YouTube, if you're interested, there's a link to a free trial for Shopify where you can also take charge of your own financial future. Back with Amy, the four kinship. You really let your past life go when you moved here.
Yeah.
I think when we talked before, you told me you sold everything. You gave
pretty much
gave everything away.
I'm still in my kitty chair, though.
I was going to say, we've been admiring the kitty chair.
I made it for my daughter, so this is her chair. Yeah.
What was that process like? I can imagine so difficult, but also therapeutic, maybe.
I mean, really difficult, right? I think a part of allowing new things to enter in, you have to let go of toxic things. So for me, I had to let go. It's part of, I think it would be called, it would be decolonizing my life, right? I had to let go of the things I'd been taught before, the things that I've always been told that are going to make me happy or going to make me successful. Stuff, money, wealth, houses, cars, all the things we get projected at us that, you know, if you have all those things, you're going to be happy.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. You said yourself a few moments ago that you had a nice upbringing relatively, just that you were felt disconnected, of course.
I had a beautiful, loving upbringing. But I never, you know, being raised as well in the Midwest where there was like so few brown BIPOC relatives, it was always like a feeling that I don't really belong here. It was a loving upbringing, but I just wanted to know more about my culture and I didn't know how to find that. And it lingered with me through my, you know, young adulthood, becoming a mom. But really when I was ready to step into that was when my daughter was leaving the nest and then I was stepping back into my childhood, you know, back to the full circle of where do you come from? Where do you belong? You know, my ancestors' DNA is in the ground that I stand on. So the vibration and the feeling I have from being here, the dreams I have now, they're completely different than any other time in my life when I lived all over the world. And so I just hear a clearer message. I understand what my life's purpose is. I think that's a big thing because we're all searching for that, right? Why are we here on the planet? Why was I put here? What am I supposed to be doing? And we search and we try to find that through different ways. And we get a lot projected at us in terms of what people tell us is important. But like my journey back home was to let go of all that came before and to step into that space of where I was allowed to be reborn, you know? And to really embrace who I am as a Diné person, to learn what that means to be a matriarch. And I definitely stumbled around the first couple of years because like any baby, you don't really know. And it was like not really understanding the language, the culture, the protocol. And so that really joyful time came with a lot of pain. You know, it came with a lot of harsh realities. And I realized the inequity between how my daughter was brought up and how all these kids that I was meeting out there, because I worked a lot with the school systems doing art programs and fashion programs and stuff. I just realized it was so not equal. And so that's really got me motivated in creating some programming and ideas of like how I could use what I've done in the past in a positive way just to pass it on.
You've mentioned your daughter now a few times.
Yeah.
I have a young daughter myself, but much younger than yours.
Yeah.
And you started the brand.
With her.
With your daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now the brand is here in Santa Fe. I mean, tell me, what does it mean to you to have built something with your daughter, something that you own, a brand that represents your values? And how might you inspire someone else who's looking at you and trying to emulate something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first thing is because people think it's such a big brand or they might see some of the media that we do, you know, which is totally needed for the work we do in social impact, that they would think that I somehow had a background in this or, you know, that I had some training on it. But like, I think it's really important to say is that I am just Lily's mom. That's who I am. I'm Lily's mom. So it comes from that point in your life when you just decide to wake up and live your life differently. So for me, it was stepping into community work. There's just one day that it was the day that I was ready. And so every day it got to be more and more of my time and more of my effort, more of my intentions. And now it's this like larger brand platform that I'm operating with multiple kind of nonprofit community initiatives under that. But I'm just Lily's mom. So anybody can do it. You could do it. You know, it's just saying like, I'm busy raising this young daughter, but at some point you want to teach your daughter how to live purposely, right? So that's kind of what it happened was step by step, I let go of what I was being pre-programmed to in terms of, you know, mindlessly creating wealth and not really knowing. And like, I want to just focus this ability I have on changing things for the positive for my people. So it became very clear what my life's purpose was.
Wow, you're really speaking to my core. You're moving me a little bit. I'm going to get emotional because you're right. I mean, it's sometimes you just go through the motions of your day. And I got to be honest with you, I think you're selling yourself maybe a little too short. I mean, it is difficult to put everything down. It's or at least it seems that way. But from what you're saying is that you just were, if I can use your word, you were ready.
I was ready. Yeah, I was ready. I think part of it too was never really understanding that what the displacement was doing to me, right? Because I probably was an alcoholic my entire life as a way to kind of medicate that feeling that I didn't know what I was, you know? So two years ago, I became sober. And then that consciousness even further accelerated the healing. Because for the first time ever, I understood what it was with the pain, with the suffering, with that feeling that I was always trying to deal with, which is imposter syndrome from a, you know, my childhood. So it was able to really step into a much stronger position to embrace the community work and know how to manifest that in a different way. Just being fully conscious in it, fully conscious of things going around me. And so I can say like it's healing me as much as I'm putting this time and effort and intention into this part of my life. I can't even tell you what I've gained. It's just, it's what I always needed to do. And now I get to do it. Yeah.
We're so happy that Shopify has been part of that journey. And as you know, Shopify is incredibly committed to supporting entrepreneurs of all types, of all socioeconomic backgrounds, of all experiences. In this moment, you have choices. You could choose another partner. You could work with someone else. You could have someone else run or operate your e-commerce store. But you're with us.
Yeah.
Why?
Gosh. I'd say for me, it's just, first of all, the fact that there is even a build native with Shopify, it just feels like it's home. The fact that you are actually focusing on indigenous peoples and see us, like you see us, you've created this space for us. So that's just like such a huge comfort in this whole world of selling and doing and whatever. You know, the fact that I get to work with indigenous partners within this brand, that's revolutionary. That's not out there. And so for me, there's just a comfort. There's this community that's being created. And what I see is this is a space for all those young people I'm telling you about. It's a way that we can partner and help train them on how it rolls, how they can use this to thrive and create the economy they need in their life to live in a way that they get invested in their dreams. So that's the beauty of it. And the fact that, you know, it is a partner brand for us and that you're doing this great work with Native folks. I mean, I never could imagine that was even possible. So.
Well, it's really kind of you to say. And Amy, if we could shift gears just a tad to why we're here this particular week. There are a number of indigenous entrepreneurs, artists, creators. They've all descended like us, like our team here on Santa Fe, because this is the Santa Fe Indian Market.
Yep.
Why is this event such a mecca, a nexus for indigenous creators and entrepreneurs?
Gosh, it's just like, this is where we all gather. It's almost like the gathering of nations, right? It's that month that we all like complain about, we all stress about, you know? I slept here at my shop last night because we're all trying to pull our stuff together at the last minute.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, again, it's a beautiful way that everyone from Turtle Island can come here and actually be together and get to, like, you know, social media, we all kind of connect over other ways.
You're together, but not physically together.
Physically, this is a physical thing. This is like getting to give hugs and like shake hands and like rub shoulders with all of the relatives from all tribes. And this is like probably one of the biggest inter-tribal gatherings in the world this week. And to have it here in Santa Fe in August when it's just like this crazy beautiful weather, it's just, I don't know, it's just like a beautiful thing to even be part of and to know that it exists. Where else are you going to go and see people from up north, people from down south, everyone in the middle, all the crazy Southwest relatives all coming together to celebrate Indigenous creativity? That's why we're all here. So everybody that's brilliant can have their shine.
Well, let's talk some more about the creativity. Mm-hmm. It's obviously on display in the artwork, the pieces in your store. You're wearing an incredible number right now, which I think I need to get my hands on. I don't know if I could pull it off, but I might try.
Yeah.
Tell me about the pieces, the clothing that you're selling, the artwork, and kind of how you procure it.
Yeah, it's like so many different ways. Like I am such a hoarder of textiles. So like you don't want to see my storage unit. It's like filled to the brims with everything I've been collecting.
Let's send our film crew there later.
Yeah, 20 years of collecting with my daughter. Like we started when she was born in 2000 and really started our archives. But I always say like I don't really find things. Things find me. So it's like this beautiful way. Sometimes we'll get donations from people here. Sometimes I'll see this giant box of crazy parachutes in the world and, oh, let's make ball gowns out of that. Like
parachute just, from the sky?
Yeah, parachutes from the sky. We find a lot of things that are damaged and old. And I mean, I'm a Virgo, so I see the beauty in it of just reimagining what it could be or repurposing or recycling. It's all like re-rees. It's all these re's. But that's like the thing with the creativity is like just getting to touch it with my hands, creating one-of-a-kind pieces. It's like creating art. It's a real form of meditation for me. And yeah, I just love working with old textiles.
And it does somewhat speak to this idea of reusing and sustainability, which mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I didn't mention is integral to many, if not all, Native peoples, is taking care of the planet. And
yeah,
and
I mean, we've been so good at reusing things in terms of like just how we live our lives. We're not wasteful. Like my friend always said, like when we butcher a sheep, you know, we use every last bit, you know, because it's just not being wasteful. It's thinking about, again, the future generations. If you honestly integrate into the thinking of generational thinking ahead, you don't make those choices for fast fashion. You don't buy things that are going to damage the planet. So for me, that's like the pillar of the brand is reciprocity for sure. Being able to, everything we take, we give back. Conscious consumerism. Legacy. Like for me, legacy, I'm going to turn 60 next week. And
congratulations.
I'm constantly, thank you, constantly thinking about what comes after me, you know? So this brand platform is building those bridges for the future for not me, but for everyone that comes after me. And certainly the last pillar, because everything's in fours, is joy. Because I don't want to be on this planet if I don't really love what I'm doing. So this is joy. This is what joy looks like to me. It's like all the colors of the sun, yellows, brights, glistening. And so when I wear it, I just feel connected into why I'm in the world. So that's the clothes I like to create. One-of-a-kind pieces. I don't think there's anything white in the store that's mine. It's like everything's crazy colors. But it's therapy. A lot of therapy.
Well, clearly, if you weren't joyous enough on the inside, you certainly are on the outside with this
yes.
ensemble.
Yes.
You mentioned a little bit about the future. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap, I'd like to ask you, what do you think is next for Indigenous entrepreneurship? And what role does things like e-commerce play in that?
Yeah, I think the first thing, whenever we talk about Indigenous future, and I love like the name of the show is that everybody talks about like, oh, Native folks, we're trying to get there, right? We're trying to be represented in fashion. We're trying to get places. But the people that you're going to meet and see in the next, you know, days in your experience here, you know, my friend Luca said this to me. She's like, Amy, it's like Indigenous future is right the F now. It is right now. We're not trying to get anywhere. We're here. We're brilliant. We shine. It's just a matter of amplifying and elevating that, right? And to elevate and amplify, we need a platform, not only a platform in terms of a brand, but literally a platform to sell so people can visually see that. So that's the beauty of the Shopify platform for me, is that we're seeing, it's our stories. We're learning through your programming at Build Native with Shopify. We're learning how to represent ourselves through the teaching, the training, the entrepreneurship programming within that site, is that we're learning how to tell our own stories by ourselves. And that's the beauty for the future for all these kids. They don't need to necessarily go work for a brand. They'll have all the tools and all the toolkit they need to tell their own story on their own brand platform. So that's what I see the future. Certainly would love to see all the POS lining the street. If all of Canyon Road, if every single one of these shops was filled with a young native vendor, can you imagine how brilliant that would be? How expansive that experience would be from retail? So that's all I'm going to do, is just try to make that happen and try to connect the dots and try to actually create that future for as many people as I can.
You know, they say that there's no better gift than giving someone a skill
that
they can use in their lives. Well, Amy, I'll tell you a skill you've given me. You've definitely touched me in this interview, and I really appreciate you sitting down with us and chatting about what you're working on here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for amplifying our voices. Thank you.
You're so welcome. That's Amy Denadel, the founder of For Kinship. And thank you for watching Shopify Masters. Please make sure to subscribe to this show to get more episodes.